Hey, this is Engineer Eric from the Jimmy Doan Show. You're listening to part two of our September 17th, 2009 Jimmy Doan Show.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
That's one of my favorites.
I mean, this tells it all.
Jimmy request.
Yeah, no, it is. I've listened to this many times.
Worn the CD out. You can see through it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have it on iTunes. I've worn it out there.
Sorry, your electrons are low.
I worn their server out.
No, it's not that. It's every time I start to play it, the speaker starts to resonate because it's heard it so many times. The speaker is warped into the shape of the song. So
our education update.
It's our education update.
Well,
song.
It's funny because they here locally, of course, they raised the millage rate again on the. We voted for it, and so they decided to cure the education system here, which is totally broken in Alachua County by. Not only did we vote to raise the $13 million or whatever it was, but then they went ahead and raised it again on top of that because they didn't have enough money. And it turns out they already know that some of the education stimulus money, quote unquote, that they're getting this year is not going to be here next year. And they're acting as if maybe, I don't know, we'll find it in the couch cushions or something. I don't know.
There was something that I had on there. It was like Obama was given $2,500 for people to go back to school. You know, you just had to tell them which one you want to go to or something.
Well, if you're a prostitute.
Yeah, well, that's right. Go to Acorn, $2,500. That'd be good. Okay, well, what I wanted to hear on the second part here to cover, get into the heavy notes, we talked about the health care bill. Of course, it's all been in all the news for who knows how long. There's not actually been a bill yet. There have been some suggestions in committees. The big one now, as of today, September 17th or whatever, is the Baucus bill. And what's his name?
Baucus bill?
Baucus, yeah, you're right. No, that's right, exactly right. Baucus, I forget who he is. It's a Senate bill, and they are saying that maybe they can get around this, and they are... the problem, of course, since Ted died, there's not a bulletproof majority in the Senate. They only have 59 votes. They need 60 in order to not have a filibuster by the people that don't want this bill to pass. So they're trying to get one Republican, and of course the one on the stick here is Susan Snow, the commie from Maine, but she has even said that she doesn't think she can support this bill. I'm not sure why exactly. Anyway, I pulled down the summary of this bill, which is, I think, 30 or 40 pages. No, it's more than that. It's a couple of hundred pages.
The summary?
No, that's not that's the bill.
Okay.
As it's and of course it's the to be marked up. This is the version that is to be marked up.
Which means it's still in committee.
Yes, although I think it might have. Did it come out of committee today?
Well, that's what you know, it goes to quote markup after it comes out of committee. Like,
yeah,
it goes
and
back
I think,
and forth.
And this is the markup version, so it must have come out of the committee. At any rate, I read through it, not all of it, but I read through enough of it. Here's what I found on page 28 of the bill. This is the part that I really like. It's called the personal responsibility requirement. Beginning in 2013, and of course I'm wondering, well, if healthcare is such a big panicky situation, I mean, why not tomorrow morning? Right. No. Well, interesting enough...
Because the world's going to end December 21st, 2012, so they don't have to worry about anything.
That's number one, and of course there's an election in November of 2000, so you can sit there and say, well, what healthcare plan? You know,
right.
Because it's not going to take effect.
Oh, it'll be great! It'll be great!
I mean, you know, so there's, nobody's going to be able to say that it's a bad plan until... 28 days later or whatever it is when it kicks in.
After.
No, 2 months later. Yeah. On January 1st when it kicks in, then the poop hits the fan. So anyway, so beginning in 2013, the individual market, so forth, so on, they're going to cover everybody. Basically, it's what it boils down to. The personal responsibility requirement. Now, what is this? Well, gosh, it sounds kind of funny, but what it is, the beginning in 2013, all U.S. citizens and legal residents would be required to purchase coverage through either the individual market or in a large group market plan with first dollar coverage and so forth for prevention-related services as recommended by the United States Preventive Services Task Force, whoever they are, except in, you know, there's some other couple of exemptions and so forth and so on. And an individual enrolled in a grandfathered plan would be deemed to have met the responsibility requirement. in order to ensure compliance, individuals will be required to report on their federal income tax the return for the months that they maintain their required minimum health coverage for themselves and all dependents under 18. In addition to this self-attestation, the insurers have to report information on health insurance coverage to the IRS and to Congress or whoever it is. And it includes months of coverage in the tax year, the individual, and so forth and so on. And similar reporting requirement would apply to employers with respect to individuals enrolled in group plans. The bottom line of this is everybody has to be in it. It's like a draft. It's like a universal draft. There is no, if you're a multimillionaire, you just won the lottery, you don't want to be in this, too bad. You're in. You are in. And I'm sitting there.
You lie.
Yeah, you lie. Right. No, I mean, this is the bill that's getting serious consideration.
Hey, Jimmy, since we brought that up, I got to say something really quick here.
About what's his name?
About Wilson.
Wilson, yeah.
You know, when he shouted, you lie, you know what he meant to say, right?
You lie, boy. Hey, boy,
no,
you
no,
lie.
No, no.
No.
And you're going to have to bleep this out, but it's...
Wait a minute, you're telling our listeners that they're going to... Wait, it's not like they can read our lips.
Oh, yeah, they'll be able... They'll know.
Okay.
Trust me.
Okay.
But yeah, that's what he meant to say.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting.
Because you know what he said in that speech? He said, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it's right on point. He says in there, it's going to be a revenue-neutral scheme.
Right.
Like... Come on, man. Come on. And then on top of that, he says it's going to be an independent entity. Like they're not going to take any money from the government. Well, that's just a company.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a company. What? How is that going to be any different from just having another company out there?
Well, exactly. And of course, why do you need it?
You don't. I mean,
well,
exactly.
And of course, there's so many things wrong with this. It's just mind-boggling that they even consider it. Even the conservatives are saying, well, we've got to do something, and they're muddling around with the plans that are out there when none of them are any good for a lot of reasons. One, of course, this is going to cost a fortune. Congress has never been right on the money. As I think I mentioned this last time, Medicare itself in 1966 or 65 was projected to cost $9 billion by 1990, and it was 10 times that. It was $90 billion. And I mean, they've just never got it right. So we know right off the bat that they got a problem. Both Tom Sowell and Walter Williams have written columns on this very erudite. You need to Google them and you'll see. And they've nailed it exactly. And what's interesting is to read the comments that come in on the bottom after those columns. You can write a comment. And the socialists are in there saying, well, what does Walter Williams know? I mean, he's just an economist and he doesn't understand about health care and he's got his.
He's just an economist and a doctor.
Right. And Thomas Sowell is, what is he? He's whatever.
He's just a genius.
He's just a genius.
Yeah, right. And then they call the race.
What does he know?
Then they have not. I will say this. They didn't pull the race card on either Sowell or which they pulled the race card immediately on Wilson, of course.
Right. Well,
Maxine Walters was over there, and she pulled the race card on the demonstrators that were this 1.7 million that were out there in the, or however many there was, it 10,000 or 1.7 million. How do you tell?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you tell if it's and I think I mentioned this before. We had a
march at night or was it during the day?
It was during the day. Oh, it was okay. All day. And
everybody snuck up there.
Yeah, yeah, they snuck up. But I mean, I would think that some reasonable. I could be wrong here, but you could tell the difference between 10,000 and 1.7 million. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I just can't see the forest for the tree. Anyway, the point is that this healthcare thing is such an unmitigated disaster. And by what's interesting is that this Baucus plan. He's admitted it's going to cost $800 billion. So obviously there's going to be an increase someplace. The thing about it that it's so funny that people, I don't think, realize there's several things that are not covered. One is you can't bring in, 30 million people into a plan and have the same level of coverage for everybody that's already in there. I mean, something's got to give, right? Either you have to either you have to get some more doctors, which takes 8, 10, 15 years.
But we're going to hold the cost down.
And they're going to hold the cost down. The only way you hold the cost down, of course, is to pay the doctors less, who at that point decide it's beach time.
Yeah.
I'm out of here. If you're not going to pay me.
Especially when they have to pay all the liability insurance.
Well, not only that, they've already said, I mean, the Obama even said with his idea was, we're going to get some savings out of Medicare by not reimbursing the hospitals to this horrendous extent that we're doing. Well, once you do that, I mean, people are already opting out of the system saying, I'm not going to take, you're going to pay me $50 for a lung transplant. Excuse me. I don't think so. It's not going to happen. So there's number one, it either there's going to be no care. And again, I've been in a country where this happened. I was down in Guatemala where they have in the Constitution. They have universal health care.
It's in the Iraqi constitution.
It's in the Constitution. But the simple fact is, if you're more than about 2 miles from a hospital, you don't get any, is what you get. You get zero because you can't get to the hospital, or, you know, there's just, it's impossible. Even though you walk in with your little ticket, you have your little coupon, hi, I'm covered, and they say, get to the line, the end of the line, and it'll be, you know, in a couple of weeks, maybe, we'll get to you. There always has to be rationing or rationing one way or the other. It's either money, or it's time, or it's some bureaucrat. There's no other way.
I heard Bill Moyer on Bill Maher talking about this, and he said, well, I don't want to live in a country where I'm getting an operation on one floor, and the person on the other floor isn't getting the operation because they can't afford it. Like, as if there's two doctors in the hospital, right, and one of them's, like, sitting in the lunchroom going, how much has that other guy got? $29,000? That's it? I'm not doing that operation.
Right.
You know, like, he doesn't get it. These people are working, and the doctors are there because of this complex economic system, and if you take the money out, the doctors are going to disappear.
Right. I mean, that's just, and that's what they're playing. So the bottom line is, first of all, you cannot cover 30 million extra people, especially on the way they want to do it. You cannot cover 30 million extra people without getting the money from someplace. So taxes, someplace that money has to come from. So there are going to be some increases, no matter how they talk. If they talk about revenue neutral, that means they have to save the money in the system currently. And it's waste, fraud, and abuse. Yeah, forget
everybody,
it.
Everybody, and we've said this 10 times on this show, I guarantee you. Every time they come out with a multi-$100 billion program, the president or whoever is in charge of it comes out and says, we're going to pay for half of this by eliminating waste, fraud, and corruption.
Right.
I mean, it's like, that's like the standard mantra. Number one, where are we going to get the money from? Oh, we're just going to cut costs, and we're just going to eliminate the waste. Here, it's all, there's waste everywhere. As
and of course,
if
the
all
question,
the people who are in there right now,
yeah, I was gonna
don't
say,
care.
Well, right. My question is, why haven't you done it yesterday?
Yeah.
I mean, if this is such an easy thing to do, if we're just going to wave a wand here, excuse me, you could have done it yesterday.
Oh, and this brings up the prosperity bill, too.
That was the... I saw that. What was it? Let's see. What was that?
That was me.
Yes, Councilor Curtis. It's a prosperity bill.
Yeah, I don't know why they just don't pass a bill with prosperity for all and be done with it.
They actually did this in 1947 when Hubert Humphrey was first in the Congress or whatever it is. They passed the right to work law, which said that the government guarantees a job for everybody that wants one. That was, 50, 60 years ago. So there you have it.
Right on track.
Right on track. No problem.
Right on track.
No, I mean, it's a law. It's a law. It's pure and simple. It's like here in Florida. It's in our Constitution that you have a right. You are guaranteed a first-class education. K-12. Guaranteed. It's in the Constitution. I mean, it's, how can you deny it? It's right there.
There it is.
Yeah, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I mentioned, I remember when this first came about, we were on the Tot Talk 1430 or whatever. This mm-hmm. was, 10 years ago. And at the time, I said I was waiting for some group of parents to get together and file a class action suit against the school system to say what happened to my constitutional education here. And I'm really, what blows me away is that nobody's done it. I mean, it's right there in the Constitution. They're not doing it. A, B, C, sue. No, I'm not sure what that's all about.
I'll represent them.
Yeah, I know you will. So anyway, it'll be interesting to see if this what happens on this health care. And of course, the big deal is Obama. They say, the pundits all say, that if nothing gets done, that it's doomsday for the big O.
Right. For the big O. I think for all of us.
No. If nothing gets done, that this is, he staked his entire presidency on getting this through here.
You know what?
I thought it was also stopping the wars.
Well, that's another thing. Of course, they Gates and everybody else have said they need another 20,000. This is looking like Vietnam all over again.
Oh,
I mean,
totally.
I hate to say this.
Or like Afghanistan all over again.
Yeah, well, that's exactly.
Which is still going.
Right. I mean, he's talking about another 18,000 to 20,000. I'm going like, whoa, wait a minute. I said I was going to get the troops out of Iraq.
Right.
Oh, well. But, I mean, aren't we still, like, dying? I mean, what? Jeez.
Had the most deadliest day in Afghanistan.
Hope of change.
Yeah. How's that working for you?
Oh, yeah.
That's
hope
good.
Hopey changey thing. Let's take a quick 1 minute break, and we'll come right back.
Okay.
Woo!
Hey! All right, we're back. Yes. Okay, good. So, the only other thing I've got here is the piece of news here. that Obama said they slapped some tire tariffs on. Apparently, the tire manufacturers here, this is, of course, proven it never works, but the tire manufacturers, Goodyear and everybody else, said that the Chinese were dumping tires in the United States below cost, whatever
Yokohama?
It is. Yeah, whatever. No, no, that's
Pirelli?
Japanese.
Well, whatever. It's the same Japanese, Chinese, same thing.
Yeah. No, we're going to hear about that.
That's Jimmy at JimmyDone.com.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. Going to hear about that one. That's right. LM, that's right. The Korean.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, so that they the labor unions, of course, are cheering the idea that the tariffs are being slapped on. Well, it turns out that not so fast, there, fellow. The Chinese apparently are going to slap some tariffs on some of the stuff that comes from us. That they actually import some stuff from us. Believe it or not, hard to believe. But one of them are
our money.
Well, that. But I mean, there's actual stuff. No, the money's worthless.
No, I know, but so, they still import it.
I know. I mean, it's like it's
no,
be,
they import raw materials and stuff from us, don't they?
They do. Yeah.
No,
but one of the big things that they believe it or not,
Jack
one of the,
Daniels.
No, no, one of the big things are chicken feet.
Oh, God, that's
it disgusting. Turns out...
Because they use all theirs.
Right. And that's exactly... They have a chicken feet gap. Mm-hmm. And so they import a lot, and it turns out that it's just a delicacy or whatever. So the Chinese said, we're going to slap a tariff on that. Well, the Chinese people were like, whoa, no. Don't do that. So I don't know. It's interesting to see that both sides... They said that the tariffs may buckle the tariff war, which is always happens when one side decides to protect its own industry for no reason at all, other than the fact that they need some votes or money or something, that the other side always retaliates, and it turns out that it may not end up being a war after all. So that's
I've had this conversation with so many people about, job protectionism. It's just unbelievable. Mm. And you can't explain it to these people. They're just convinced that no matter what,
I did it one time. I was in a class, public speaking, actually. And,
uh-huh.
And I set up the two countries like two neighboring classes.
Right.
And I gave everybody in our class a job. And then I said everybody in the class next door has the same job.
Uh-huh.
And then I asked them, I said, okay, now you're buying your cars from... You're this guy sitting next to you in the desk,
mm-hmm.
but the guy in the class right next to us is selling his cars cheaper. So where do you want to buy your cars now?
Right.
And then when they said next door, I said, is that because you're anti our class?
Right.
Are you discriminating against our class? And they were like, well, I just want the cheaper car.
Right.
And I'm like, there you go. Right. And look, the money that you save gets distributed around our class or wherever because
it's
that's
else.
Saved. Right.
It's something
you
else. Buy a shirt or a suit or an iPod or something that you didn't have before.
And if you're and the guy sitting next to you can't sell cars cheap enough, then he goes into something else.
Right.
And that's how the world continues.
Comparative advantage.
Adam Smith.
Adam Smith, mm-hmm. absolutely. It's all been done 100
Only
times.
Been a few hundred
There you
years.
Go, people. Next time you're out there in Listenerville, Jimmy Donaland, and you need to explain that, they're a perfect example.
Well, that's covered very well in what's his name's book?
Henry Hazlitt.
Yeah, Economics in One Lesson.
Well, yeah. I had a piece of fan mail. there was an email that was going back and forth about, I guess it was guns or something like that, and it, the gun bill keeps coming through. And it says, well, we're going to require the criminals to have, any criminal that buys a gun, like legal criminals and legal people, they're all criminals that own guns because you're criminals if you own a gun. We want them to have background checks and a psych test. Remember that we were
psych
talking about
test, right.
all that stuff. And I mean, it was just, the list. And then this guy responded and he says, well, I have no problem with any of this. I mean, I want the guys to have a psych test and I want to, everybody register and a fee to transfer your gun to somebody else if you sell it. And I mean, it's just, the list goes on. And I wrote back to the respondent and I said, well, I'm against it 100%. I go, we've lost enough freedoms as it is, and I don't care to lose any more. And boy, I'll tell you, went back and forth, a little bit. But then I ultimately got an email from this guy, and he said, well, what freedoms have we lost? What freedoms have you personally lost? And I'm going, well,
Well, as Jimmy says, you can't cross the street without permission.
Well, yeah. Exactly. I wrote him back and I said, can you just send me a list of 10 things that you can do without having to involve the government in some way?
Right. You want to change the inside of your house?
Yeah, well, like you said, what was it? 4 sheets of drywall is
four
the max.
4 sheets is the limit.
But again, I'm sure that's not if it's 4 sheets around a structural component. I mean, there's always a way they can come in here and deal with it.
Yeah.
but what I was saying is that, you know, riding a bike, well, you know, you got helmet laws for that now and everything. You know, you don't have to have a helmet on a motorcycle, but you do on a bicycle. And you got to have a bell and a light at night and all this other stuff. I mean, you know.
And you can get a BUI on your bicycle.
BUI.
You can't lose your license to drive and go to
right,
prison.
Right, right, right.
You can go to prison for riding your bicycle around.
Yep.
Drunk.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, absolutely. And
or your wheelchair.
Or yes, your riding lawnmower.
That's the one. Of course, Grandma now is in a wheelchair, so we were giving her some booze the other day.
We were hoping to get her arrested because I was going to take her. She's cost me too much money, and I figured if she was in jail, you know, she'd get three squares and everything. And,
sure.
Yeah. Jimmy's off the hook.
Yeah.
But I mean, the whole thing is when you really go back, I was just kind of just flabbergasted because I'm going, if our founding fathers came back today and they looked at all the things that you have to do, I mean, no, it'd be they would walk in with muskets and shoot everybody in Congress. We wouldn't have to worry about it.
Yeah, there would be a revolution.
It would be a revolution. I mean, they'd be like, "What did you guys do? Yeah. You know, what did you do?
Well, of course, as Benjamin Franklin.
Well, he used to sit in his porch naked. You know, you can't do that. You know. And that was, he would do it all the time. Oh, that's old man Franklin.
When he was 11, he went to work uh-huh. which would be illegal now.
Right.
First of all, he left home,
right.
Which means he'd be arrested.
Truant.
Well, and not only that, but he'd be placed in DCF custody. He'd
right.
be placed in Child Protective Services.
And so would his parents.
Right.
Right.
Well, they'd be arrested.
They'd be arrested.
They could be charged with child abuse.
Child abuse.
You know, and he goes off to work. The printer gets arrested that he works for.
Right.
Of course, he can't do that printing job for several more years.
Right.
I mean, it just goes
plus,
on and
plus
on.
Plus, printer didn't have to pay workman's comp or anything back
then. Just on and on and on.
And I mean, again, you know, like I wrote back and I was just saying, well, I mean, try to you know, grow corn in your backyard. And then, or how about make some whiskey for crying out loud?
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, try to do that. You know, I'm, like I said, the list goes on and on and on. I just can't believe that people can't see that.
You can't even, you did bring up a point. It is, I believe, illegal to make, even for your own consumption, whiskey, isn't it?
Beer, you can do. Yeah, that's
beer
so heavily regulated.
Beer you can do and wine
beer and
you can
wine
do.
Wine you can do. But whiskey, if you try and make whiskey, even just
it's a still.
Well, I know.
That's what I'm saying. They throw you in jail for that.
Yeah, yeah.
There's so many controls on the ATF regulated stuff. It's ridiculous.
Well, as I say, literally here, the planners are in control. I mean, and there's another in this book that I recommend in the first part here, the Ludwig von Mises, The Anti-Capitalistic Mentality. He talks about the planners. And when you start to get we have a bunch of them here in town. In fact, we have a whole division of planning. And these people are so prescient and omniscient and so genius that they can look into the future and see exactly what's going to go on. And they plan our lives out. Kind of like moves on a chessboard or checkerboard or whatever, and they're, of course, they're wrong all the time. It's unfortunate, but they don't care. They just stumble it over and just do it all over again. But the planners are the ones that take away a lot of our freedoms, and people don't realize to what extent. If you want to literally do anything, you have to go get permission. And as I say, here,
you got to get a marriage license.
No, yeah, anything.
Anything.
I mean, literally, if you try and cross the street, they will arrest you. It's a a $55 fine for crossing the street without permission in this town.
Well, and those people got a ticket, and they would go to jail if they didn't pay it for selling lemonade.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that's, you know, it used to be an old funny thing. Like you said, even back when, not even have to go back to the founding fathers, just go back 20 or 30 years and you look at all the laws that got thrown on the books between now and then.
You know, I wonder.
Well, penalty
I'll tell you this,
escalation.
Jimmy, I've taken a look. Of course, being a lawyer, going in the library there, you can see the Florida statutes. And
from year to year.
Right.
Yeah,
and,
yeah,
and,
yeah.
And you can see, I mean, 50 years ago it was one book. And now it's seven books or something.
Right,
and,
right.
And, you know, and it was, and I'm talking big, thick
fatter,
books.
Well,
books.
Of course, on a federal level, they've got the Federal Register, which is tens of thousands of pages every year. And those are just new rules and regulations that are done not by Congress. They're just rules, you know, that FCC or any of those other alphabet agencies just say, let's pass a rule.
Right.
But done.
And these are, quote, reasonable rules, which, if anybody understands, is the basis of our system here. It's that reasonable people can disagree. And so that means that if reasonable people can disagree, but yet you have to follow somebody else's reasonable rule, that means that I may have a reasonable disagreement with
right,
that.
Right.
But it doesn't matter anymore because they've made a rule.
Right. And they have a gun.
Right.
Right. I was just looking. They were talking about, I love that website. If you ever go to a DIY drones, that was one you sent me, Jimmy.
Yeah.
That was where you make your own drones. These kids are launching them and then they'll fly a pattern around and come land all autonomously. It's a great place. I'm sure that there's laws against that, but kids are doing it anyway.
Well, you saw that.
And then the other one, they say we want to have a DIY rocket competition where we try to shoot down a drone with a guided rocket. And, of course, it is a federal offense to build a rocket with any kind of a guidance system on it.
Chancellor Curtis at hotmail.com for legal defense.
Oh, that's right. You got your Hotmail account.
Hotmail, yeah. I got a new account.
And you're putting some TV shows together, too,
yes,
right?
Yes, I've done some videos, which we'll link to that.
Let me get them kind of perfected a little
right,
bit.
Right. We've got a couple.
Great.
Yeah, they came out really well. We had a couple problems with each one, or just one problem with each one, it seemed like. So we're going to redo them real quick, but I've got a How Not to Get Busted seminar,
mm-hmm.
and then a What to Do Right After You Get Busted seminar.
That's
and
good.
I'll summarize it right now. Shut up!
Yeah.
Okay? If you're about to get arrested, shut up. And if you've been arrested, shut up.
And you've also got a one up for what you do if your friend's getting busted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leave.
There's nothing that you can do going over there and talking to the cop.
Yeah.
I saw a clip of that. It was hilarious. You think for a second.
All kinds of things you can
your
say.
Your boozy breath's going to go over there
yeah,
and talk
exactly.
to your friend out of it. Right.
Now, we'll put a link to those things.
But speaking of the stuff in the air, what about the MIT people that put that balloon up for $90,000?
Oh, well, I had that in my light notes.
Well, let's move on.
What?
Let's move on.
Yeah. I'll talk about it in a minute.
Okay.
But anyway, that's it. So we lost freedom. Yeah, try to make a machine gun or a silencer in your house. See what happens. Yeah, you going to jail.
Yep. Okay. Anything? I'm done.
What else?
Oh, you're done? Okay.
Yeah, me too.
And you're done? Okay. Well, then I got science updates.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, my God.
I like this. I'm going to go through these pretty quickly here.
Good.
Actually, we'll take a really quick break, but this is really good stuff, so hang on, and we'll be right back.
Hey!
Okay, and we're back.
That's right. And buy that product.
Yes, absolutely. Drink it, buy it, love it.
That's it.
I like this. If we're worried about everything, but this is the really big news. NASA is out of funds to track asteroids.
Whoa.
Okay, so, whatever, healthcare, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
whatever.
You know, rocks between 460 feet and 3,200 feet in diameter can devastate an entire region. You're doomed. I mean, dinosaurs
A rock 10 feet across would explode like a nuclear bomb.
And in fact, the one happened last year over the Pacific in 2007.
You're kidding.
No, they had, it was like a 1 kiloton explosion over the.
I did not hear about
that. Yeah, it was out.
I
saw it on Discovery Channel the other day. They said, it didn't happen. It was in the middle of the Pacific, but it was, they picked it up on the satellites, when they saw this big explosion go off and. They tracked it right when it came in. They saw the glow when it came in the atmosphere and all this stuff. But they said that it happened over a populated area, say like Iran or Israel. could possibly start something.
Yeah.
And that wasn't as CC said. That wasn't a really big rock. I mean, it was 1,000 pounds or something like that, maybe less. But I mean, that's not a big, not a really big rock.
No, 1,000 pounds is like 3 or 4 feet across.
Yeah, but it's coming in like 40.
No, I know that.
40,
no,
50,
no, no. Do the math. I understand that. I understand that.
And it does depend on where they come from. But anyway, again, a lot of the, there's a lot of amateurs out there doing it. But let's see. NASA estimates that there are about 20,000 asteroids and comets in our solar system that are potential threats. That are larger than 460 feet in diameter, which is huge, slightly smaller than the Superdome in New Orleans. So far, scientists know where about 6,000 of these objects are. Specifically, the mission calls for NASA by the year 2020 to locate 90% of the potentially deadly rocks hurtling through space. The agency says it's been able to complete about a third of its assignment with the current telescope system. And last month, astronomers were surprised when an object of an unknown size and origin bashed into Jupiter and created an Earth-sized bruise that is still spreading. And, that, of course, we saw Loewy Shoemaker 9, but this is another one. NASA calculated to spot the asteroids as required by law would be spending another $800 million between now and 2020 with either new ground-based or space-based observation systems.
That's like a rounding error in this budget.
Yeah, I mean, it's
not $800 billion, it's $800
million. You know, $800 billion is 800,000 million.
Right.
And this is $800 million is what they're doing for, to protect us all. You talk about a healthcare plan. you know, but
well, you know, let me tell you something. I got a news.
I'm all about private enterprise doing it myself.
Well, not only that. Here's the deal. Mm-hmm. So they find one.
Right.
Then what?
Well, then you talk to Rusty Schweikert and Stitch. I mean, they're working on ways to deflect it.
Yeah, but they, let me tell you, this
part
is,
of the thing is they build a really big bat and you swing that at the asteroid knock it out of the park.
I'm sure that part of the plan is to dig a really big hole and line it with food and water and drop down for a while. I'm pretty sure that's the plan.
Yeah. Well, or you just dig a really big hole through the earth and just let it go right through.
You know, but you couldn't do that.
No, I know.
You'd have to be a Kirby hole.
It'd be a lot of money to do that.
Something's going to melt on the way through.
So anyway, there's a couple. Of course, I love the one people from Stargate. They're always worried about this one Apophis. You know, that was the big one. It's got a 1 in 43,000 chance of hitting Earth, but they know where that one is.
Well, it's just because it's the size of Manhattan or something.
Yeah, exactly. And then there was another one. There's a 430-foot diameter that has a 1 in 3,000 chance of hitting Earth in 2048. Well, again, I'm not worried about the ones in 2048. New technologies will come around to figure that out.
But at the rate they're spending money, we won't be here then. We're living in caves. Anyway, yeah. So like, who cares?
Right.
Caves
right.
A good place to be away from them.
Absolutely. All right, new development on our for power. Everybody's worried about power. We don't get enough power. Spray-on solar cells.
Gotta have more power, Scotty.
More power, Captain. The new nano ink process could replace the standard method of manufacturing solar cells, which require high temperatures and is relatively expensive. Rather than silicone, the inks developed by CoreGel's team, this guy, are made up of copper, indium, gallium, selenide.
Or easy stuff to find.
SIGs. Yeah. Sunlight absorbing nanoparticles 10,000 times thinner than the strand of a human hair. So basically, they want to take these nanocrystals, make them into ink, and spray it onto a substrate, kind of like making a newspaper. So they should be able to paint, even flexible surfaces. The because it's so thin, it actually is transparent, so that you could actually use like your window could have like a slight tint to it, but also develop energy.
Wow, that's
so. I wonder how that would work as a sunblock.
It would work
if you put it on your body. You know what I mean? And like, you could generate electricity. It'd be kind of cool. No, I mean seriously. If it's like semi-transparent,
it glows in the dark.
No, I mean really. You could have some fun with this. You could imagine planning yourself with LEDs and stuff. You know,
absolutely.
You go to Burning Man on something like that.
Burning Man, and you're naked man.
You're naked man out. You're sprayed down with this stuff. Right? Right.
One of our good fans, listener, is Burning Man person. She's a fire dancer though.
Oh, she's a fire dancer?
Yeah.
Good
she dances on fire?
Close enough.
She dances with fire.
She's hot as fire.
She's hot.
Okay, where's this?
Anyway, they've got... Oh, it's Burning Man's out there in...
I know where it is, I mean, when is it? Didn't it over?
Jimmy's
well,
like...
Well, it comes around each year.
It was last month or something.
Yeah,
she was saying...
Well, all right. Well, Kathy, email us.
Woohoo!
Tell us when it is. We can't Google that. But right now they got 1% efficiency for this stuff. And they say as soon as it comes to 10% efficiency that it's totally commercially viable. But as you say, you know, we'll figure it out. I mean, it's all coming down
the pipe. I saw one where they've got they're going to install some equipment underneath some sidewalks, and they're going to rely on the
people pressure.
Yeah. For kinetic energy creation.
It's going to be something.
There's a million alternatives. That's the lesson that should be learned from this, is that there's so many right. alternatives to oil, you don't have to worry about regulating the oil company.
Right. By the way, if you guys
the
watch...
The market will figure it out.
It's
just that simple. Shut up! The market will figure it out. Jeez, you know...
People aren't shutting up enough.
I know, but they think they're so smart. They're, you know, this. We got guys here riding in all the time, and... They don't. There was an article. In fact, it was on C-SPAN or something. They were talking about the energy, what it costs for energy. And I'm sorry, it might have been on YouTube. And I'm going to link to it. I will link. This is something else. Christensen or something is the guy's name. It's a 3-part YouTube thing talking about energy.
Okay.
And it's one of the most eye openers I've ever seen. And
you need to send me that link. So I will do this.
It's really good. Okay, go ahead. Chris Martinson is his name.
Chris Martinson.
ChrisMartinson.com.
He doesn't need to shut up.
No. He's got a 3-part series on energy, and it's really,
really
good. Yeah.
Cool. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
Fatostatin could lead to obesity drug.
makes you fat?
No, apparently it makes you thin.
I was going to say, we have the one that makes you
fat. Scientists have discovered a small molecule, which they've named fatostatin, that stops the body from making fat. Fatostatin could someday lead to a new all-in-one pill fighting obesity, diabetes, and cholesterol. It blocks SREBP, which controls fat synthesis, according to Science Daily. Obese mice injected with fatostatin in the study, published in the August 28th issue of the Journal of Chemistry and Biology, showed noticeable weight loss without a big difference in their eating habits, the researchers found. After 4 weeks...
had to be a big difference in their pooping habits.
I don't know. Well, yeah, who knows? After 4 weeks, the mice weighed 12% less with 70% lower blood sugar levels, and their cholesterol levels dropped as well. And, well, we are quite frankly excited about it, said Salih Wakil, a researcher at Baylor College of Medicine in Texas, where the study took place. Texas. Eating those 16-ounce steaks.
That's right.
Or whatever.
Chicken fried steak, chicken fried
yeah.
gravy.
Actually, what is it, a 64-ounce steak or something? What's
72.
72. 72-ounce steak.
Eat it, you keep it.
Eat it, you keep it. I'll see the mouse put one of those down.
Yep.
Hopefully down the road, fatostatin or a derivative of fatostatin may be helpful. So in about 20 years, it'll get FDA approval. So everybody could die off until that happens.
The black market. It's
the black market. Now, this is kind of cool. New Super Velcro can hold 35 tons. I had a little note on here. Might be really cool if it really works. What it is these people, they made a Velcro out of basically stainless steel. And instead of the little nylon and polyester hook and loop fasteners, they use steel brushes and spikes. 1 square meter of metal Velcro can support up to 35 tons while withstanding temperatures as high as 800 degrees Celsius. So it won't melt, which is another plus. So they were trying to come up with a name. They were Velcro X, Velcro Extreme, or Velcro 3000.
Stelcro.
They wanted to name
Steelcro.
It. They were going to name it Metaclet, which is like whatever. But I thought Metaclet, M-E-T-A-K-L-E-T-T.
You can't even pronounce it.
You can't even pronounce it. Yeah, exactly.
Right away, you got a problem. Right, you got a marketing problem right off the bat. I'm sorry.
Right. Well, anyway, I thought Stitch from the Hanger Dogs had a great one. He goes, call it Velrock. Just move the C to the end. Velrock.
Yeah. So, okay, there you go.
Pretty good. So, yep. Hey, whoever you are out there inventing this stuff, do it. Okay. Okay, here's your camera thing. This is great. The $150 Edge of Space camera. MIT students beat NASA on beer money budget.
Take that.
This is great. My buddy Lawrence, man, I said this to him. He's like, don't get me started. You know, he's like, you know, what is it? There are $20 billion to send people to the moon. He's like, shh, give $1 billion to five guys like Burt Rutan and it's done, you know, next year. Anyway, these two MIT dudes, Justin Lee and Oliver Yeh, put together a low-budget rig, and they're actually going to have the, if you want to do it yourself, you can, they're going to have free instructions on what they did. But it flew high enough to check out the curvature of the Earth, and there's a nice picture of it on there, and it really is cool. And again, instead of rockets, boosters, or expensive control systems, they filled a weather balloon with helium and hung a styrofoam beer cooler underneath to carry a cheap Canon A470 compact camera. And then they had instant hand warmers, kept things from freezing up, because it get cold up there. And they made sure the battery stayed warm long enough to work. So anyway, all of this, of course, would be pointless if they couldn't find the rig when it landed, so they dropped a prepaid GPS-equipped cell phone inside the box for tracking. Total cost, including duct tape,
$148.
And it went up to, what, 90,000 feet or something?
No, hold on 1 second. I'll tell you here. Oh, they also used this the Balloon Trajectory website from University of Wyoming. That's cool, too, to estimate the landing site. You just put in your how high you think it's going to go and what time you're going to launch, and it'll calculate your longitude and latitude, or it'll also map it on Google Earth. Hmm. It'll map where you're going
to... They did have to download the freebie hack for the camera. That was kind of cool. I like that. That particular camera, you can hack the firmware in it too, and they made it what they call an intervalvometer, so it took a picture.
Intervalometer,
right?
Yeah, the Canon was hacked with the CHDK Canon Hacker Developer Kit. development kit.
And what, I love it.
No, they, it's that's
open
a big
source firmware.
Yeah,
yeah.
And you can and so they made it so that it took a picture every 5 seconds or
yep,
something. So
every 5 seconds, and the 8 gigabyte memory card was enough to hold pictures for the 5 hour duration
of
the flight.
And of course, the way they decided it was going to come down, the balloon exploded.
Yeah,
Yeah,
the picture you see in the above shot was, well, not you guys in listening land, but what I'm looking at was from around 93,000 feet, just shy of 18 miles high. Anyway, it's short of the actual space, which is 62 miles up, 100 kilometers. But it's in the stratosphere, and it's still impressive, and it really is. To give you an idea of how high that is, when the balloon actually burst, the beer cooler took 40 minutes to come back to
that
Earth.
That is amazing.
40 minutes.
That is something else. That is a free fall. I mean, that is, you know, that's cool.
That doesn't even seem right there.
I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Math.
So,
if it was a styrofoam cooler, probably the terminal velocity wasn't 120 miles an hour. It was probably
If it was styrofoam, it
could have been less. The terminal velocity was probably figured out 40 minutes. If it was 12 miles up, 40 minutes.
Right,
you know, do the math.
It's a styrofoam cooler, so it's not falling at a human velocity. I mean,
that's right. Number one, it's not. Not only that,
its terminal velocity is probably.
Well, you
20 or 30 miles an hour. Well, if you know how big the styrofoam cooler is and how much it weighs.
I'm saying you can figure out the terminal velocity because it took 40 minutes from 100,000 feet. Do the math. You know what I was saying?
Yeah. So do that. And
do that.
Email us the answer, and we'll send you a Jimmy Doan mug.
That's right. I got a couple left.
All right. Man sickened by cleaning fluid combo. The Florida man almost died. He wanted a pristine toilet. Ended up in the hospital after mixing a potentially deadly combination of cleaning fluids. This guy, 44, of St. Petersburg, was taken to a Bayfront Medical Center on Thursday morning. And Newton created a chlorine gas cloud when he combined bleach with an ammonia-based product.
We want to find out how he did that.
That's what I'm saying. He combined bleach with an ammonia-based product to make a stronger bathroom cleaner.
What was the ammonia-based product, he asked?
Okay, you know, I really don't think it matters. I think if you mix ammonia and bleach, you're going to get it.
I like this. Okay, this is good. We'll mark this down because we're going to use this as a defensive weapon.
Yes, chlorine gas has been used as a weapon of mass destruction.
And what I'm saying is when they approach the house here, we can, you know, heave a couple of those chlorine tough cocktails.
Authorities warn consumers never to mix bleach and ammonia when
Thank
using
you,
cleaning.
Thank you, authorities. Authorities. I love this. You know, experts say. Shut up.
All right, this is great here. Starlink's crowd skies pose aviation risk.
Yeah.
This is one of those things where people are like, oh, wouldn't this be cute? And brr, people are dying. You know, basically, the next time you ski, this is Dateline Salt Lake City. The next time you sky darkens with a flock of noisy, unwelcome starlings, blame Shakespeare, or better yet, a few of his strangest fans. Had the bard not mentioned the starling in the third scene of Henry IV, arguably the most hated bird in North America, might have never arrived. In the early 1890s, about 100 European starlings were released in New York City Central Park by a group dedicated to bringing to America every bird ever mentioned by Shakespeare. Today, it's more like Hitchcock.
Well, I mean, aren't those the flocks are like...
No, it's some 200 million shiny...
200 million.
Okay. That's in 100 years. 200 million
That's
from
like
100.
Everybody, almost everybody here except the illegal aliens could have one.
And eat it. They basically range from Alaska to Mexico's Baja Peninsula. And they endanger air travel, mob cattle operations.
But, I mean, they travel in flocks of, like, a big flocks, right? I mean, like, a million to five. They're like the buffaloes used to be or something. Now the flocks take, like, you know, 20 minutes or 30 minutes to fly by. They're so huge or something.
Yeah, that's what they were saying, that the
Well, the carrier pigeons
darkened.
Used to be like that.
I mean, I know. Locusts, too.
Flocks of over a billion. Would fly by and they would have and they would literally black out the sun for half.
Can you imagine though that a billion and they went extinct?
Right.
Yeah, I mean at one feedlot, some 200,000 starlings gathered each day, and I don't know. There was another flock of 40,000 show up around here.
And now, how do they count those? Is what I'd like to know.
Well, obviously not the same people that counted that March.
No, right, exactly. Not the U.S. Park Service.
No. But you know, but they, you know, they're responsible for deaths. I mean, you know, they had a 1960 civilian crash that killed 62, a 1996 military cargo plane that killed 34. They've had a Boeing 747 that ran into a flock in Rome last fall. No one's killed, but badly damaged the plane and had a rough landing. Federal aviation officials said they've caused $4 million in damage since 1990. Last year, U.S. government agents poisoned, shot, and trapped 1.7 million starlings.
Out of 200 million.
Yeah, out of 200 million, right? So they're doing great.
And what I wonder what it cost them to do that.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Per starling.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's the question. This would be great. So it was a great job because some of these people around the airports, their entire job is to scare them away with you know, pyrotechnics shooting at them, a laser. You know, this is kind of that cool job.
Yeah.
You know, screamers and bangers, they call them. So, yeah, cute idea, not so cute, and getting worse. Too bad Jack Rhodes isn't here. This one is the Obama pot poster angers photographer. Did you see the NORML, the National Organization for Reform of Marijuana Laws?
What's his name here? Sent it to us.
But I love it. In the original photo, Obama's holding a real cigarette to his lips. Sanchez tweaked the smoking material to fit her theme, and he's also, it's some kind of like a psychedelic type of poster. The caption was, he's wearing a Panama hat and it says, "Yes, we cannabis." I thought that was the cool one. So, anyways, she's all bummed out of shape. The original photographer was going, "Yeah, I never wanted it to be used that way." And people are saying, "Well, we had fair use rules, and so it's going to court." And they're just NORML's basically taking her. You know, they're gonna deal with that one. I just got a couple more here.
Time check.
Okay, yeah, we're looking good. This is kind of unreal. Litter vigilante cited for trash piles.
27 miles an hour. Would have to be how fast that cooler was flying.
Well, I said 30, didn't I?
Okay.
Well, I thought perfect. Look at that. I thought it said Paul McCartney. McCarthy. Yeah, McCarthy. Anyway, he says nobody else is cleaning. This is in a Dateline Pittsburgh. Basically said nobody else is cleaning up the trash and brush in his neighborhood. So in June, he started doing it and calling the city to collect the piles. So obviously they're gonna cite him,
right?
Yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, and they're not having any part of that. You know, he says, "I'm 62 years old. I'm down with cancer. You know, I'm out here picking up litter and I'm putting it in a piles and I'm calling the city and I'm telling them where it is." And they gave him they gave him citations and they say that we hope that this guy abides by the rules and doesn't do that, and they'll waive any fine from the citation if he stops.
Don't want you picking up that trash.
No, hell no. It's good trash. That's good clean city trash there on the ground.
Well, you know what they'll say is that interferes with the regular trash collection.
Right.
Because I mean, you know, yeah. It's like the fire department people. You know, they don't want you putting out the fires because it interferes with the regular fire department.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's
right.
Exactly right. No,
you know.
They'll cite you for that, boy.
Oh, and watch out, Jimmy, here. A man advertises parents on Craigslist.
I saw something about that.
A Connecticut man put his parents for sale up on Craigslist as a joke to pass the time on a rainy weekend. This guy's 51 years old. He says in the ad that he's gotten a lot of use out of these guys over the past 50 years, but it's just time to move on. He'll sort of take $155 in trade, or a trade for some younger parents, set of parents, an erector set, or a hot blonde. So, I don't know. Said he got dozens of responses from around the country, including inquiries about who would pay the shipping cost and how many days it would take to receive them. He said his parents had a good sense of humor and took it in stride.
And then they shot it.
Yeah. Oh, here's a great one, too. This is a clothing label from a small U.S. company. And if you read it, it says, wash with warm water, use a mild soap, dry flat, do not bleach, do not dry in the dryer, do not iron. And then in French at the bottom, this is a company that sells this product in France. And in the French label, it says at the bottom in French, but I'm going to translate it for you because I'm cool like that. It says, "We are sorry that our president is an idiot. We did not vote for him." It's on the label of every single piece of clothing they sell in France. You know? I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, you know, people would probably buy that. Hey, look at the label.
That's right.
So it's got a couple more. Anybody else got another light?
Well,
notes?
I don't know if this is light note or not, but I did notice that they have come up with this urban hopper robot that can leap over 25-foot walls. Have you seen the picture of this thing? It's like a little tiny tractor thing. It's from DARPA, who's always putting this stuff together. And I thought it was kind of interesting because one of the uses for it is law enforcement and homeland security. So look out when this thing comes. It's supposed to be available in 2010, and I think we ought to get one. But it's like a little tractor vehicle. Not tractor. It's got four big tires, but apparently it'll like hop like a grasshopper,
right,
land upright on the other side of a wall. They said it's cheaper than a helicopter or anything like that. Apparently it doesn't use any fuel hardly or whatever it is. But I thought, you know, I wouldn't mind having one of these things. So I'm looking.
Do you ride in it?
No. It's small. It's like a little. It's like a little
RC car.
It's about.
You put a gun on it, and
well,
you put a camera and a gun.
Exactly.
I like all of that, but it looks like it's about the size of maybe a small lawnmower without the handle.
Wow.
So. That's kind of cool. Yeah, I mean, but yeah.
Hey, I got a pseudo. That's not really light, but Jimmy, looks like the city of Philadelphia there is.
Now this is about the fourth thing we've had on Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, or something on Pennsylvania. But
yo,
go ahead.
It's Philly. It's all right.
Well, I just, you know, it's interesting. They're taking your advice. They're going to close the libraries.
Yes.
Yes.
And they ran out of money, right?
Yep.
Now the thing about it is, you know, you don't have to close them. That's
well, they
the thing
didn't actually. They what they did is they're going to lay off a bunch of staff.
Right.
And Actually, no, they are. You're right. No, they don't have to, but they are. They're going to close the doors, not let anybody in, because it's not staffed or whatever. You know?
I know, but why don't they sell it?
Oh, well, because, and I'll tell you why, because they didn't quite learn from what you said, Jimmy. And and what their plan is that when the budget revives itself,
right,
then they're going to reopen.
So they're going to put this, with the library, with this books in mothballs, essentially, when the economy revives.
Mm-hmm.
This is like Disney's head in cold storage or something, and freeze the damn place. No, mothball it, whatever it is. And then in a couple of years, when the economy turns around, then they get some more money, then they're going to open it back up again.
Mm-hmm. And you should have seen the comments. You'd have thought we'd entered the third world because of these library
closings.
All
they have to do is put it up for bids.
Well, you know, the opponents are worried that our culture is going to dissolve without these libraries.
I understand that. All you do is sell them.
Man, could you imagine if you bought the library and you sold all those books on Amazon.com?
Well, not only that, you could do some of that, for certain, but I mean, redeployment of capital.
Right.
But you basically just charge.
Yeah, just charge, right.
Big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, if they like the library, they'll pay.
Right.
Otherwise, you sell the books on Amazon.
Right.
Well, my thought was is that they don't deserve books if they were too stupid to know that their economy was going to the crapper.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like.
They forgot they got the wrong books in there.
Right. You know, they had a bunch of financial books in there.
Yeah.
Maybe, but actually, they did learn. You know, just these other people who were commenting apparently
haven't learned.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's great. Well, it's to say it locally here, they're moving heaven and earth to make sure they. Again, I was watching the city commission meetings here, and it's interesting because I'm convinced that the commissioners are the shills for the employees rather than the people that actually vote for them and pay their salaries. I think I mentioned this. I was down there. They had literally hundreds. Well. Tens and tens of hours of hearings on the city budget. Virtually all of that time, except for 12 minutes, was taken up with the various agencies making their case for limited cuts or no cut. And they listened to this whole thing and everything. I went down there and said, slash and burn, get rid of it. You know, you don't need these guys. And this was to my representatives I said this. And basically, they kowtowed to the tens and tens of hours that they heard, the people that they're supposed to be firing. I mean, they act as though their constituency is the employees rather than me. And I guess it's because they had 40 hours to make their case, and I had 3 minutes.
It's their buddies. You know, they get the call. Hey,
well,
Bill,
yeah, exactly.
You're not going to cut our budget, are we? You know, I've got Sam over here.
Exactly.
And Jill, she needs her money for her new car.
Not only that, even with that, the point is where they work. They have to walk through the place every morning. You know, and they certainly don't want to get the foul looks from the employees.
The stink eye
from the employees, right. So, they're going to do heaven and earth not to get the stink eye. I love that.
Pietwaki.
Oh, my God. That's great. Okay, go ahead.
I just got a couple more. And there was a place in South, if you're in Sitipika, parents are finding a new place to drop their kids off. This is the Baby Hotel. And basically, if you are, you know, you just want to like have some place, it's kind of like a nursery, but the guy at the hotel director says nurseries are not flexible. They have specific hours. You have to enroll full time to use them. But you don't have just, you know, for us, for just an hour or two at a time, you know, whatever. So they do this. It's like a, I guess like a, you know, like hotels you go to, Jimmy, you know, for an hour or two at a time. But so I love this. Saturday morning, this woman
I'll
goes.
I bet it's not a, I don't go for that young person.
No. Not this kind of hotel. I'm talking about the hourly part.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, Saturday morning, I wanted to go to Pick n Pay to do my monthly shopping. Monthly shopping. Wow, that'd be great. She said, to take a little baby to Pick n Pay on Saturday morning is just not a good idea. That's why I drop her at the baby hotel. I need a haircut. I couldn't take her there either. In fact, I dropped them off there the whole day and picked them up in the evening. It's so convenient.
It's like not even having kids.
It's like not even having kids. And then so this chain is expanding, so there you go.
Got something to do.
Yeah. How about this one? Bank refuses to cash a check when an armless man can't offer a thumbprint.
I saw that. What was with that?
It's down here, unfortunately, in our neck, well, in Tampa Bay, Florida. This guy, he goes up there and he goes, he had a check from his wife and he was going to try to cash it. And it was,
how did he pull
it was
out
at Bank of America. I guess he had it in his teeth or something. But he would have been happy to apply, but he was born with no hands. And or no arms actually, and he wears prosthetic devices, so maybe you know he's like a Terminator. He was
right.
And then gave it to him, and I'd have given him my thumbprint. I'd have given him the little the little metal you know thumbprint right there. You know.
Oh, did I break your machine there?
Oh, sorry, look at that! Did I break that thing? You got another one? Oh, I broke that one too. You know.
How about a retina scan?
Yeah. So. Anyway, the manager was like, well, can you bring your wife back over here or maybe open an account so we can verify that? You know, he's like, oh, my God. Anyway, B of A, they later admitted that the manager probably should handle it differently. So anyway.
Handled it.
All right, just one more for me.
Okay.
The average woman is only able to hold a secret for 47 hours.
Now, you know, I saw this.
Uh-huh.
And
that's a stretch.
Well, no, it's not that. You have to understand, this is an average.
That's true. It depends on the secret.
That's right. First of all, the way I look at it is this. It depends on the secret. And they said that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, there was a quote in there that she said something about, yeah. I could keep a secret, but I really can.
No, I don't want to.
No, I guess what might be surprising is a whopping 9 out of 10 women describe themselves as trustworthy, even if their behavior didn't point towards that quality. Just because I gossip doesn't mean I can't be trusted. I can keep a secret. I just chose not to.
I can keep a secret. I just chose not to. I love that. Well, not, let me tell you, though, but the point is that this 47 hours or whatever is an average. So that means
right.
that when you realize...
A few people never tell anything.
Right. And they drag it up to the 47 hours
right.
because most of them are 2 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
So they, yeah, the average is 47. It's from infinity to two minutes.
Right.
That's the deal.
Yeah, so you got
well, Jimmy, thanks for the show.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Woo-hoo. Oh, did you one more thing. Did you see that in Seattle, Washington, in the college classroom, they were discussing the qualifications to be a... President of the United States, and the one girl in class stated immediately how unfair was the requirement to be a natural-born citizen. In short, her opinion was that this requirement prevented many capable of individuals from becoming president, and the class was, you know, taking it in and letting her rant, but everyone's jaw hit the floor when she wrapped up her argument by stating, what makes a natural-born citizen any more qualified to lead this country than one born by C-section?
Way to go, Blondie.
Yeah, that's college student. These people vote.
I love it. That's right.
Blondie.
All right, well, thanks for tuning in.
Hey!
Sorry we took so long.
Yeah, well, we won't
hopefully
do it.
They're going to be quicker now, actually. Councilor Curtis here just moved to town, so we are hoping... as my situation stabilizes, that we will be up and running on maybe even a bi-weekly basis.
Yep, and well, we did get a little thing on there that said that they were doing a bunch of server work on our servers and we wouldn't be able to publish from the 25th to the October 2nd, so...
What?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. You know, we'll have to see. But anyway, I'm not too concerned about it right this second.
We could do a little YouTube chant.
Yeah. We could do something else.
We got video coming, too.
Oh, that's right.
We got a new computer... Some serious shit coming.
Serious shit.
Yeah.
As opposed to the normal unserious.
BS, right. Like Hangar Dog style stuff, you know. No, listen to Hangar Dogs, man. This
yeah,
guy,
thanks for Gene again. Thank you very
that
much.
That was awesome to have him on. And again, it's HANGARDOGS.com. And those guys have been putting the show together about every week, and it's really good stuff. So you make sure you go check them out.
I got all the inside.
I got all the top secret stuff.
We got nothing. I got nothing here. I'm sorry.
If it didn't come in over the wire, we don't know.
Not even that.
Yeah, their wires are a little longer.
Thanks for tuning in. Send us an email.
Yeah.
Money, too. Don't forget the money.
Yeah.